100 word stories.
Good truncated morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. Today's Sunday, so instead of the usual story a day, we've got a bunch of stories from people just like you. Unless you're not like yourself, then you're like someone else, and I have no idea who you are. Who are you? What are you doing here? You're listening to a podcast. Oh, I should probably do something story-related. The topic this week was the word private, and we got a whole bunch of stories in this week, so let's go ahead and get right to them. First up is someone new to this, I think. I don't know. Were they a part of the Relay for Life? That Relay for Life one really doesn't count. So let's go ahead and just say hello to Setchere. I'm pronouncing that right? I guess I'll find out when, you know, I play your story here, which I'm going to do right now. You see how it works? You really miss the robot voice, don't you?
Chris adjusted his headset and slumped back into his cheap chair. Just another body in another cubicle in the sea of cubicles on this secure work floor. What a joke. Anyone with half a brain could leave with enough information to score at least a nice vacation. All the private identification information you could want, all given freely by the trusting dolts because they thought they were talking to the government. The subcontracted job was minimum wage, and the word curse generally not too bright, but not Chris. He had plans. He could wait for the right call. He took another.
Thank you, Setchere. And please come back next week. Don't just leave me here with these crazy... Oh, hi. How are you doing, people? Did you miss the fact that I would ramble stupidly like that? Well, I'm back. I already mentioned that, didn't I? This thing is going to be an hour and a half long, isn't it? Well, that's not my problem. I don't listen to these. I just play the stories while I'm making it, and then it takes me 5 hours. Well, I got to do laundry. I got to do that. And oh, the Baileys. Oh, the Baileys is back. I tried to do Baileys and coffee yesterday morning. Tried to open the bottle. Man, that thing is like, you remember all the Baileys poisonings back in the 80s? Yeah, me neither. They were too busy poisoning aspirin and cream of tartar. Whatever. So it took a Ginsu knife 3 attempts to get through it. Do they make the thing out of Ginsu knife? Ginsu knives are supposed to be able to cut through everything. What a load of crap. Well, anyway, here's Jeffrey. He'll cut through anything.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here with a trio of stories on this week's topic, private. My first story is called Work is Its Own Reward. We need to reward our best employees when they work hard on an assignment, Mr. Silver said to his line managers. Beth asked, What kind of reward were you thinking about? We don't have much in the way of a budget. Mr. Silver leaned back in his chair. Maybe a $25 Starbucks gift certificate would show our appreciation. Heck, if we chip in, we could make it 50. Beth privately thought that wasn't much of a motivational tool for employees making more than 75 grand a year. But she held her tongue. After all, keeping her paycheck flowing was its own reward. My second story is called The Examination. The doctor walked into room 1 and looked at the patient on the table. What seems to be the problem? Doctor, I have some itching on my private parts, and it won't go away. The doctor chuckled kindly. Well, that's pretty easy to handle. Usually that's just a case of genital crabs or lice. Let me take a look. He performed an examination of the patient. That's puzzling, the doctor said. I can't see evidence of either crabs or lice. Just some white residue. Well, I could have told you that, Doc. I just accidentally poured a bottle of itching powder down my shorts this morning. It's pretty powerful stuff. And my last story today is called Office Call. Bob knew the private meeting with his boss wouldn't be a happy one when the older man shut his office door. Bob, I've got some bad news. We're going to have to let you go. The minimum wage went up, which is great for the people we can afford to keep. Unfortunately, we can't keep everyone, and you're the low man on the totem pole. Bob looks stunned.
But the president said raising the minimum wage wouldn't lead to job losses.
Bob, he's a politician. He lied. Well, that's it for me for this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And no, you can't trust those politicians. You'll notice there's a lack of politicians in this weekly challenge, so you can trust it. Another person you can trust is Richard. I don't think he's a politician, so you can trust him. Here is Richard.
Good morning, and thank goodness, at last, a topic I can work with. First of all, we'll kick off with the next installment of George's story. It's part 48, and it's called A Poor Reception. Draining his teacup, George pushed his way to the front of the chapel and climbed into the pulpit. Clearing his throat, he leaned forward and boldly addressed the congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, the world may be ending, but we don't have to go without a struggle. At his words, silence descended. The people looked up at him questioningly before losing interest and turning back to their tea, biscuits, and conversation. Rasputin appeared at the foot of the pulpit, an angry frown on his face. "You," he snarled, "will speak with me now." He pointed towards a side room. "In private." My second story is called Private Sanderson. As disasters go, this was pretty bad. The chain of command was in tatters. Strategically placed explosives, plenty of luck, and a badly timed combat briefing had combined to wipe out every officer in the company. The unit needed a leader, and pretty quickly. In such extreme circumstances, the burden of command falls upon the most senior recruits still standing. Such was the responsibility that now fell to Private Sanderson. What followed was crushing defeat and humiliation. Shortly after, military policy was changed to ensure regimental mascots could not hold rank. A dog would never be put in command again. Story number three is called The Sign. The sign said, "Private Property." We took no notice. We climbed over the wall and made the place our playground. They tried all sorts to keep us out, but we always found a way. The words "keep out" were added to the sign. To no effect. We still broke in every day after school. We thought it was a joke when we turned up one evening, and the sign now said, "Pirate Property, keep out." But we were wrong. Several of us suffered cutlass wounds, and Billy Smith was forced to walk the plank. We don't play there anymore. And to finish, two more stories. This one's called The Door Marked Private, Part 1, Interview with a Prisoner. Nobody knows what's behind the door. It's not just that it's marked private. This is a tough place. They don't stand for any messing about, so we avoid causing trouble. There's all sorts of rumours. Some say it's where they keep the electric chair. Others that it leads to solitary confinement. Myself, I think it's just a storeroom. There's no way I'm taking a look, though. Yes, some people take the risk, but no way is that a good idea. Why? Simple. It may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, nobody who ever went through that door ever came back. The Door Marked Private, part two, Interview with the Governor. We run a tough regime around here, and it works. I can tell you that these inmates keep their noses clean and give us no trouble at all. After doing time here, you never see them back in prison again. Matter of fact, I'd say most of them are pretty much reformed characters way before their sentence is finished, which gives us a bit of a problem with overcrowding and prisoners with no real need to be here. That's why we have the door. What's behind it? Well, there's a short corridor leading to another door. And beyond that, freedom. And that, folks, is all I've got for you this week. Hope you have a good one. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And I'm glad that you've got a topic that you can work with. Hopefully the next few topics will also be ones you can work with. Hopefully every topic is one that you can work with, including this one. What? Oh, Jeff Hema is here? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Jeff Hema while I check in on my laundry. I forgot to set the timer. Everything's all screwed up this week. Let's all just declare this week to be Daylight Savings Week and skip to next week.
Hello, this is Jeff Hema, and today's story is on the topic private. This story might ring a bell, so if it does, feel free to leave a comment. An Asset by Jeff Hema. Against all odds, the exponent-driven detective Carey was right. He'd been turned. You either become a double agent or you'll face the death penalty and a public humiliation, she said to me laconically in private. I had no option but to comply. When I reached the frontier, border guards were very dubious, unlike their dogs that scented the traitor inside me. I felt like they wanted my demise, so I burst into a derelict cabin and tried to block the door, but they were getting in from the bottom. I had to cut them into pieces, one by one. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff. And I hope you used a Ginsu knife with that. That'll cut things into pieces, except for the safety seal on Bailey's. I just don't understand. Okay, you can make something too safe, like a gun safe lock that takes forever to open. And then by the time you get it open, you've already been shot to death, or stabbed to death, or licked to death, or vampired to death, or zombied to death. Whatever. Yeah. Oh, what? Oh, let's go with Lizzie. Here's her story.
Private matters are difficult to handle, especially if those involved are married. It's tricky, confusing, and even murky to meddle in affairs that are none of your business. That's exactly what Nolan thought when he decided to hop in the time machine to try to solve marital problems. It was the almighty marriage committee's business, granted, but wasn't it his marriage after all? Unfortunately, a revolutionary thought for his time, he knew. Well, the machine broke and Nolan got stuck back in 1974. He spent the rest of his private life haunted by the possibility of marrying his own great-grandmother. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcock.blogspot.com to check what I've been writing lately. And I invite you to drop by the Virtual Writers Inc., I-N-C, website, where I post a monthly column called A Story Waiting to Happen about Sims, which are locations in the virtual world Second Life that could be inspiring for writers. Okay, and that's it from me this week. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
She also does this 500-word thing. If 100 words isn't enough for you, check out that 500 word thing on our site. It's I can't get up to 500 words unless I've written 5 stories, but I can try. Maybe I'll try one day. Maybe I'll come up with a story that 100 just isn't enough. And then it just like, oh, I can't tell it in 100. And yeah, you know, ooh, that's not good. So thank you, Lizzie, for bringing all that inspiring place stuff to. What? Serendipity? Okay. Serendipity's next. When is this timer going to go off? Hold on. 5 more minutes. Okay, so my laundry needs 5 more minutes to toss around and tell. Some asshole put powdered in the little bin where it says liquid, liquid, liquid everywhere. And some jerk who obviously either can't. It's not up in. I thought it was up in Spanish. Apparently, they're illiterate in at least 2 languages. Dump some crap in there. How do these people pay the frickin' rent? Whatever. We need to get a goddamn house. Here's Serendipity.
It's surprising how many people keep private information on their computers and make little, if any, effort to protect it from prying eyes. All those dodgy photos you downloaded from the net, logs of those private conversations that you'd never want disclosed, and those little snippets of information that would shock people if they were to ever find out. As for protection, passwords won't help you. We hackers are like vampires. Invite us in of your own free will, and we have free reign. And inviting me into your system is a simple matter. Just play this audio file. And, crap. Since you suggested Island in the Stream. Baby, when I speak here, I'm an avatar. Not a real person. But it's worked so far. But I think to sing a duet is just quite wrong. I'd rather stick to stories, if you don't mind. Not into singing songs or things of that kind. This voice was made for talking, not for singing out loud. Computer tones are bland. They have no intonation. Not really meant for musical communication. So let's stick to the stories. Without resorting to music. Just an audio stream. That is what I am. Not a vocal queen. That would be wrong.
I stand corrected. Thank you, Serendipity, for showing me the errors of my ways. Row, row, row your boat? No. I have no response to that. Let's just... Here's Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. I've got 3 stories. Story number 1. Funny. One of my earliest memories is watching The Phil Silver Show. I was about 4 years old. Both my parents were prone to laugh, but that show produced a different magnitude of laughter. Being a rather focused, and by all accounts a precocious child, I tried to sort out the reason the show was funny. I remember to this day a character called Private Swithington Bilko, a rubber-faced comedian in his first TV role. 7 years later, he would become the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins. Oddly, he grew up 60 miles to the south of where I grew up. Story 2, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, Part 39. Reverend Tony made his way across the churchyard to Doc Proctor. Private conversation, Andover, he said, ducking into the grotto of Our Lady of Detroit, amongst the wall of pistons and the cover of hubcaps, Reverend Tony whispered the name, El Cid Caesar. When will he be here? Asked the doctor. He and his 40 thieves will be here with the last new moon. Why tell me? You're our only hope. No, no, not again, Anthony. Look at them, Andover. They are lambs before the slaughter. I'm not the man you need. If not you, then who? Said the priest. And the last story. Continuation of Up the Rabbit Hole, Part 8. Adam X returned to his normal life. Code monkey by day, Kabbalist by night. He scoured the internet looking for all things 404. On day 7, the work paid off. A link to a private chat room in Romania, a group of Ukrainian hackers, closely guarded words, hinting at a similar experience. Then Adam entered. Who is he? The room imploded. The ghost cursor started to blink in a syncopatic pattern. Then the reply appeared. He is waiting. Everything went black. The screen, the room. In the dark, a silk hood dropped over his head, arms firmly locking on his. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. Well, one of the washers said, the door is still open. It might have nudged a little loose. So a little duct tape, a little Hello Kitty duct tape. That'll solve everything, won't it? Sure does. I need to get some better headphones. Got this Yeti microphone going, but these headphones are just cheap little buds. I need to... Over-the-ear ones will work, right? Those don't get in your ear to cause all kinds of ickiness, I think. Whatever. Oh, I should probably tell all of... Yeah, okay. Next up is Muncie. What is he calling us this month? I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, penguins. Munzee here, a week late with a new nickname due to my forgetting that February is a short month. Shut up! And making up for it with a nickname stupid enough that you'll be glad to have not had to deal with it the full month. Now let's get this March of the Penguins on the road! The Age of Privacy by Christopher Monroe. Once upon a time, we had a concept called privacy. Essentially, people could, if they chose, be alone. No social media, no CCTV, no NSA monitoring, nothing. Simply an individual, alone with his or her thoughts. Communication, in the age of privacy, happened face-to-face, between small numbers of consenting citizens, unrecorded. No detailed records were kept. Indeed, the idea of recording private conversations was considered uncouth. Because we were all isolated then, every one of us, even in groups. We must have been desperately lonely. Barbaric, isn't it? But that's how we used to live. We've come a long way since. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, penguins, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if the NSA happens to be monitoring this podcast, hi, NSA! I want to point out that I portrayed you in a generally positive light in this story, and that I sincerely hope that you don't understand irony. Because you have drones.
The NSA has drones? Oh, come on, bring them on! Let's really annoy the neighbors. Oh, thank you, Muncie, Penguin. You know this Obama thing, R-S-P-E-C-T, and then you've got Dan Quayle with potato with an E on the end? So, you've got Republican who adds an E, Democrat who removes an E. I think there's going to be a war on the letter E soon. Or something. I don't know. Who cares? E is on the top of the eye chart, for crying out loud. You should be able to see that. You should be seeing those in your sleep. Remember those eye charts where the E's were pointing in different directions? I never got to use those. I guess I didn't have that visual problem. Or I wasn't an illiterate moron. I don't know how to read. Okay, this is an E. Which direction does the E point? What does the fox say? You hit me like a wrecking ball. Really? If you don't know how to read, you don't need glasses. You know, you just need to be smacked and handed a broom. You don't need to be able to read to push a broom. Here's a broom. Push it. I don't care where you push it. Just push it. Tell the difference between dirty floor and clean floor. See those leaves? Rake them, because you can't read. There I am again, promoting literacy through hate. One person who doesn't hate at all, I think, is Zachman. I don't think there's a hateful bone in his body, and if there were, he'd be a unicellular, gigantic Zachman with no bones, and that would frighten us all. Instead, he's the loving, caring person that you see today.
I be glad I could have this private conversation with the grim bastard supply officer. Ye are fair to me men and a good leader, but ye should not be too trusting of privateers, even ones on your own ship, says Captain Pighart, pushing Officer Johnson towards the fantail. Officer Johnson kicks the captain in his privates, then runs over the gangplank before Pighart can order his detention. Johnson is so glad his diligence to his duty resulted in acquiring the rum keg that Pighart has used to become too tipsy to remember the grim bastard is still in port.
The grim bastard! I like it. Oh, thank you, Zachman. I like that. So, let's see. What are we doing? Oh, okay. Let's go with Spate next. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on this TweetDeck thing, which means I subscribe to too many people.
Follow me. Follow me on this. Follow me on that. Follow, follow.
Oh, and here's Spate.
Hey, girls and boys. Spatey here with a private 100-word story just for you. It's called The Intruder. And here it is. The shower is probably the second most private place in this world. Just you, the hot water, some soap. You never expect someone to creep up on you. When I heard her blood-curdling, heart-searing scream, I didn't even think. I just bolted up the stairs, two at a time, threw open the bath door, and yanked the curtain back. She was naked, plastered flat against the wall, horrified. And there he was, standing right in the shower with her. I did what I had to do. I squished the damn spider. He went down the drain in little pieces.
Thank you, Spate, and thank you to guest star Boris the Spider. Maybe we should do a... No, we won't. I've had some people suggesting public for another topic, so I'll probably put that in the queue soon. What else? I'm just uninspired this week. After 2 weeks of... doing the robot thing. I don't know what to say anymore. I've been doing this for how long? Coming up on let's see, how many, well, for the podcast, 9 years. For the weekly challenges, almost 8. Damn. Where's the time gone? Oh, well, who cares? Let's go with Cliff and see what he's got for us. Where has the time gone? Cliff?
I had worked for the company for 14 years, and I'd never been on the 10th floor. The directory just showed it as private, and the elevator was locked. The door on the stairs was locked from the inside, too. Yesterday, while climbing the stairs, I found the door blocked open, likely by some die-hard smoker on the roof. I pulled the door open and looked inside. Rows of monitors showing company reports, budget plans, the entire corporate strategy. Sitting in front of those monitors were chimpanzees. A gorilla pushed me out the door with the words, "You saw nothing." And here's another story with the prompt of private. Nothing is private. Your bank accounts, your calls, your emails, all are subject to government surveillance. They track the GPS in your phone and car. They monitor your face space and tweet pages. If you catch their attention, they can know everything there is to know about you inside of an hour. Sure, they say it's just bulk statistical data, but really, what spy is given that kind of access and says, "No, it wouldn't be ethical"? You mark my words, they're spying on everyone, everywhere.
Attention. We do not monitor stories submitted to this podcast. Sincerely, your friends at the NSA.
Where did this NSA thing come from? Did I miss something? Did I forget something while the robot was doing the voice? Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Cliff. I'm sure that I missed something. Maybe I fell asleep, or I didn't do laundry last week. I think I did coffee. I'm not sure. I was in the other room and just slapping stuff together, and then whatever, I'll listen to it later. John Musico? Okay, sure. Let's go with John Musico. We're just tearing through here. And can I just stop now? Okay. Gotta keep going. Maybe someone else can take over next week. Maybe I can put this up on a Reddit thread. Just upload all the files. Here it is. All done. You like it? Whatever.
"None So Blind As Those Who Will Not See" by John Musico. An atheist has no faith. He has no confidence that some power will save him. However, without recognizing it, he does have faith. It occurs after his talents have fallen short, and he has again failed. That night, he talks to himself. He reminds himself that he has traversed rough waters prior, and yet survived. He urges himself to return to the fight bravely. He feels better. He is praying to a benevolent, intangible, almighty being, his inner self. He is even placing faith in someone who has failed, yet he chooses to believe nonetheless, without evidence. He does have faith.
Sometimes when I'm uninspired and I can't come up with things, I listen to John Musico and I come up with things. I thank you. Those private moments within my head, they echo inside, maybe a little bit of flange, maybe a little reverb, but they mostly echo. You know who's come back? Come back to us here? It's Botgirl. Botgirl. Yes, Botgirl. As some people go, some people come back. Some people show up. And some take a while to think. A while to think. Maybe they don't like the topic. Maybe they like the topic too much. Here's Botgirl.
Thank you. The social network is not just a medium of self-expression. It calls forth creativity that would not have otherwise been born.
And time not otherwise wasted.
We hack off hunks of ourselves, chronically crafting content that is convulsively consumed by hungry hordes, viewing voyeuristically from the void.
Incorrigible peeping toms, peering from timeless space, hungry ghosts, gobbling down the guts we disgorge, zoned out zombies, voraciously devouring endless tubs of all-you-can-eat buttered brains, transfixed by the wit in witless wind.
You're feeding off me right now, so don't forget to wipe your filthy mouth before you go.
Thank you, Bot Girl and Bot Girl and Bot Girl. The text of the one-act play you saw here is up on the site, as with the text of every other story on this show, forever and ever. Did you get all that? Good. Oh, what? Oh, and that was two robot voices. There were two robot voices the past weeks where I think I used a regular accent, and then I used the Greek plugin. Someone asked me, what did you use? And I told them what I use. It's a future app. The future of apps. Now, let's hit audio, and it's Speak It! It's for the iPod. But I think there's an iPad, and I think there are all sorts of little programs out there that let you do that crap. So if you hate the sound of your voice, you have no excuse. You can have a robot do it, and you can hate their voice, because hating someone else is okay. Until then, someone says, you're bullying. And then it's like, no, that's valid criticism. No, you're bullying. There should be no criticism whatsoever. And it's all Bush's fault. Obama is a Muslim. And this and that. Clinton's a philanderer. They never look into the mirror and see what's wrong with them, do they? Do they? I know someone who looks deep into the mirror. It's Chelsea. What do you see there?
Hello, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to introduce myself, and thank you for making me feel welcome the last few weeks. My name is Chelsea, and short fiction writing is a big step out of my comfort zone. Most of what I've written in the past is in much longer format. That said, I'm having a lot of fun with this, so much so that I've written two for you this week, and I hope you enjoy them. Private moments. Private moments between two people are the sweetest things. Soft whispers in the ear, gentle kisses on the lips, secret smiles when no one is looking, silent sighs in the dark. Sweet moments for two and only two. It's the most amazing thing in the world when you can share a private moment with someone who actually wants to be there. Moments that you keep close to your heart. Private moments between two people. Soft whispers in the ear. Gentle kisses on the lips. Secret smiles when no one's looking. Silent sighs in the dark. Sweet moments for two and only two. Private. She saw him before he saw her, standing in the crowded lobby, head down, focused on his phone, headphones in, lost in the song of the week. She paused for a moment before walking up to him to really take it all in. To have this moment to herself. He was waiting for her. He was there to spend time with her. Such a crazy concept in her world, that she really did need that moment to herself. Then she started it up to him, and was rewarded first with surprise, and then that smile. That private one, just for her.
Your hope has borne fruit. I enjoyed them both. And thank you for the introduction there. I think everyone should reintroduce themselves. Hi, my name is Phil in the blank. Please, get to know me. So my phone is telling me fog. Currently, it's 48 degrees. The high will be 63. Sunday evening breakfast cereals is next up on your calendar at 2100. When I'm away from my home, it tells me how long it will take for me to drive home, as if I will throw down my phone, get out my keys, hop into the truck, and drive right then and there. It's a hint for me to go back home. My phone misses home. My phone gets homesick. And it gets homesick for Norval Joe, otherwise known as Philip Carroll. Is it time that I changed your name on all the credits and stuff and just started saying Philip Carroll? Is it 1R, 2R, 2Ls, 1L, 1Q, 2Qs? I don't know. I'll stick with Norval Joe, because that's the kind of guy I am.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 411 with the prompt of Private. I just got back from FogCon in Walnut Creek, California, which is Friends of Genre Fiction. It was interesting. Got to meet one of my favorite writers, Tim Powers, who was very much a writer. Here's my story. The drill sergeant walked through the open bay barracks, banging two garbage can lids together, and shouted, "I want every one of you swinging Richards out in formation, standing tall at 0445. The trainees jumped from their bunks, opened lockers to grab their uniforms, or dashed to the bathroom. I was already in formation, knocking off the few chin hairs I could find with the dry disposable razor, when Dennis came out and said, "We eat, sleep, shit, shower, and shave with 60 other guys, and they have the nerve to call us private. We should be called Publix." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. There are no wiener dogs this week. There are no wiener dogs this week. Unless Tora has some for us. Tora, do you have any wiener dogs for us this week? Do you have any wiener dogs for us this week? Do you have any wiener dogs for us this week?
"Private, keep out," said the sign. "Don't worry," I said to my friend. "That doesn't mean us." "This means you," it said sternly. "Look," I told it, "we've got more important things to do today than argue with the keep out sign." "Leave immediately or face countermeasures," it answered. "I don't see any guns," I retorted. "You don't even have an internet connection, do you?" "No," it admitted, looking crestfallen. "As much as a metal plate on a post can. They shut this place down years ago and left me running on an atomic battery. I just wanted the conversation."
Thank you, Tura. Now, I know a lot of you are having a hard time paying attention to the stories this week because of the tragic news of that Malaysian Airlines airliner flight plane thing. Well, I just want to tell you they're all fine. They're right here in the living room. They're all in there. I mean, there's not much room on the sofa, but they're all in here. They're doing just fine. And the airplane? Oh, it's in the garage. So, after they're done, you know, they're all, some of them taking showers, some, you know, we only have two, so it's going to take them a while. But, you know, we've got plenty of glasses. I mean, this is why I collect all those plastic souvenir cups when I go to baseball games. Huh? I mean, it isn't exactly classy, but, you know, when you have an entire airliner full of people show up at your door, you got to have glasses. I mean, I don't have enough sodas for everyone. I don't have enough nachos, but, you know, that's why they have all those sodas and nachos and stuff and peanuts and pretzels and falafel on the plane. So there you go. So when they're done, we'll send them up. The mystery will be solved. All this talk of terrorism and such. Oh, come on. Stolen passports? Really? Really? Are you going to believe an Italian over a Malaysian? Seriously? Come on. These are good people. Although, I think one of them was looking through my DVD collection. They're touching my favorite DVDs. I mean, you can look through all the ones that are the Tyler Perry movies, but don't mess with my Batman. The new Batman, not the ugly, awful, stupid Michael Keaton, Joel Schumacher, crappy Batman. No one wants crappy Batman. What about you, Danny? Do you want crappy Batman?
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 411, Private. So let me give you the 411. Here's my version of this week's challenge. Trolling Facebook the other day, and I saw a video clip of an Army private getting kicked in his privates, followed by 127 of the most insane comments about utter nonsense, as if the private whose testicles were now popping out of his mouth could not feel pain. He was not even human. His entire life reduced to a 25-second clip as if it were nothing more than a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Maybe some things in life were just meant to be private. I don't see rape victims posting videos of their rape on Facebook. We should stop posting ours. And if that doesn't infuriate you, nothing will. But come by my webpage anyway. It's Danny Dwyer at Word... DannyDwyer.wordpress.com. It's not even at. It's nowhere. It's no place. It's just DannyDwyer.wordpress.com. And please, I've got three comments. Three comments on last week's post. And you know what they're about? How somebody can make my blog better. I mean, you guys didn't even read it. Jeez. Just, you know what? I would appreciate it. Go to DannyDwyer.wordpress.com and just write fuck. Put fuck in the title and fuck, 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 fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. Yours truly, fuck. I'd be more than happy because at least you read my post. Thank you.
Well, usually I just put my comments right after you tell your story, but okay, sure, there. Fuck, 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 fuckity, fuck, fuck. Do we need to make that a topic? There. Do we want to make fuck a topic? Is that going to offend enough people? Or is that going to embrace enough people? Do we make it like, you have to put swear words in it. You have to make it cursing. Or those who don't like it, they may rage quit, I may lose them. But after 411 weeks of me being a rambling jackass, it's not that there are over, 300, 400 people that have participated, but there are that many people that have given up and only you, 17, 18 people are left? I don't know. Some come, some go, some, you know, put their hands down their pants. Who cares? It's all about the challenge. I mean, Red Goddess. You know what she did? She left. Why? Some of her stories were like 150 words long, 200 words long. Guess what? If you still have her link, search for her, Red Goddess. She's still writing Lola stories. That's what matters. It doesn't matter whether it's here or there or up on Danny's site, as long as you write and express. Although usually people put their comments about Danny here, put them over there. Put them over on his site. Go to every person's site this week. That's going to be my challenge to myself. And put a comment. Not just a bullshit comment of, oh, hi there, I'm here. You know, that's like, I drew on the paper, ma'am, give me an A. Screw that. Put some thought into it. I know you people can think you came up with this stuff. And it's beautiful. Beautiful, I tell you. You are beautiful. Maybe the next challenge, maybe 1 week we won't do a challenge. And I'll just have people rant for 5 minutes on something that matters to them. On something that truly deeply matters to them. In addition to your story, just let loose. Let loose. Minimum of 5 minutes. None of this NSA stuff. Weirdos. That'll give the NSA something to chew on. You know what else they can chew on? Yeah, Singh is here. He's got a story. What? You thought I was going to say something disgusting? I need to add fuck to the list. Okay. Here's Singh.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 28. In this installment, Margot feels the full force of the monsoon. In her feverish state, is she having dreams, visions, or past life flashbacks? Daily rain came down and down. There wasn't respite in her hut. She closed school. The road to town, now bog hole hell, was also shut. She watched the village kids at times cavorting in the plough field muck. For them, all was jolly times, holidays since lightning struck. Monsoon wets come sharp and short, and next, oppressive sweats of heat. She'd cool off, then was caught like a fly upon her sticky seat. She played with Yudi to wait it out, but lost her appetite for food and took to bed with a nasty bout. Fever watched the storm clouds brood. So hot, it's cold, laying down in the hut. Fever is a portal. Time travel back 20 years, 20 miles south of Paris, Auvers-sur-Oise. Deck chair, fishermen, casting lines, lazy willows, casting shadows, father farmland, cider apple orchards, cherry trees, nipple laden, crisscross of hawthorn hedges, white flowers like spicules of hoarfrost, their stale sweet trimethylene of sex, poppies, straw hats, women across a field, Van Gogh country, wheat fields with crows, the flaming yellow sea, French practice days, a picnic lover, baguette, cheese, wine, arse down on earth, head up under heaven. So hot, it's cold. So hot, it's cold, the black bite, the swollen groins, pus volcanoes under armpits, the fingers, the rotting toes, black noses falling off, gangrenous stink, necrosis trail into the forest, clean beached bark, unsullied columbines, blue jay songs, plump quail, wise woman of the woods, Grandma Mimi, whose face? Nursing the nearly dead, herbs, air, sunlight, until they march. Town shouters, black habit bearing the cross. Rope the necromancer, drag her, feet first, hands behind back, plague bitch. Spell thrower, beware the witch, I save the village, throw her in the river Hoise. Squirrel, horned owl, red deer, blink, move on. So hot, it's cold. Sweaty Punjabi suit. Inner colours unravel like Draupadi's sari. Skirts of fustian. Sheer linen pleated. Armlets of Isis. Indus. Saffron cotton. Huan dynasty jade silk. Neck to ankle. Tyrian purple for her once Greek lady loose peplos. Byzantine ox leather. Dalmatica cloak. Woolen cape fastened on the right shoulder, velvet broadcloth with the sign of the artichoke, Spanish ruff for a delicate neck, French needle lace, Marie Antoinette wig, hat bearing a football, lengths of chintz and muslin traded from India, Draupadi sari keeps unravelling east to west, guarding the secret soul patches of her past. So hot, it's cold. The day, the night, the faces flying between the past, the future, legs, bodies, as if passing through a glass walkway, old stone to modern extension, slipping between a lotus goddess to Detroit girl in snow, from Durgan on Tiger to Buick baby seat, flashbacks, flash forwards, old stirrings ride along, nothing jejun about this journey, her return to, her repeating of, using the time machine, the hyper-reality of now. She has tasted the hallucinogens of fever. Is she the weak, thatched heart of the flesh, or a transporter of private thoughts, impressions, transparent ghosts? Madam, madam, are you all right, madam? Reliable man had come with a kilo of milk. While she lay perspiring upon the bed, The monsoon played its kettle drum tattoo, and Yudi whispered. Atul gave him the cream and poured her water from the sideboard jug. "Drink, madam. You must keep drinking it." She sipped and coughed, then, trying to sit up, slumped back, drained. Atul saved the tumbler from minor flood. Not a drop spilled. He rose up, bigger than he was, upon the chair that had been growing also since last visit, and didn't move until the fever broke. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, Chapter 27, by Chris Mooney Singh. If you'd like to check out more of my work, check the program notes or go to my website at chrismooneysingh.com. Thank you. See you next week.
Thank you, Sing. Are we almost done yet? Are we almost done yet? Are we almost done yet? No. Got some more laundry stuck in there because the machine didn't think that the door was closed, so it delayed that other one. I've got all the other stuff folded up. Now I need to hang up the stuff that needs hanging. Lord loves a hanging. So what are we going to do? Hell yeah. Planet Z. Do it!
When I was growing up, I never saw Jim Nabors on the Andy Griffith Show. Instead, I saw reruns of Gomer Pyle when he was a private in the Marines, and he sang at every Indy 500. And Ron Howard was Richie Cunningham on Happy Days, not Opie the Rascal in Mayberry. Don Knotts was Mr. Furley in Three's Company. Even Andy Griffith was on Matlock. Looking up and down the cast list, the only other name I recognize is Denver Pyle. He was Uncle Jesse in The Dukes of Hazzard. The Andy Griffith Show is on Netflix? Huh, pass the popcorn.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories, a whole bunch of stories, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of private. Hey, who knew? You can check out more stuff about these show notes. Links to everybody's site where you should leave comments. Meaningful comments. Thoughtful comments. Helpful comments. Sexy comments. Over at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. In fact, don't put any comments on oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Put them all on other people's sites. Let them know that you care. Because tonight, we care. For tomorrow, we may die. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the challenge. Thank you for just being you. Unless you're me, then stop being me. Be you. Not Boston University. Come on. Whew. A long day. The next topic is going to be, where did the time go? So, same rule, same this, same that, same bat channel. I'll see you next week. And as always, keep it brief.